Welcome to Below the Waist. Today is a special podcast. I spoke to Alexa Colby Molinas, a staff attorney for the ACLU Reproductive Freedom Project, about a case that was heard today by the state Supreme Court in Kentucky, Ina Cochran versus the Commonwealth of Kentucky. So I'm here today with Alexa Colby Molinas from the ACLU. Alexa, you and I are going to talk about the Cochran versus the Commonwealth of Kentucky case. Can you tell me a little bit about the case that's in front of the Kentucky Supreme Court?
Sure. This is a case that could have enormous consequences, not only for Ms. Cochran, who is the defendant in the case, and for women throughout Kentucky, but really for women all over the country. This particular case started 4 years ago when Ms. Cochran gave birth to her daughter. It was December 2005, and both she and her daughter were tested for drugs, and they tested positive for cocaine. Because of this, and not based on any other sort of visible harm to Ms. Cochran's daughter, she was charged with wanton endangerment, which is a felony child abuse charge. However, before her case could go to trial, before anybody could make any arguments about whether she did or did not abuse her baby, the criminal court just threw out the indictment and dismissed the prosecution altogether, saying, look, you cannot do this in Kentucky. And the court was right, because in 1993, the Kentucky Supreme Court had clearly ruled that the criminal laws in Kentucky could not be used to punish women who become and choose to remain pregnant, even while they're struggling with a substance abuse problem. So you would think that would have put an end to Ms. Cochran's ordeal, which really shouldn't have started in the first place, but the prosecutors would not be dissuaded, so they appealed, and they argued that in later cases, the Kentucky Supreme Court had reversed its decision, even though they couldn't actually point to any language that explicitly said that. But surprisingly, the appeals court agreed. And so in light of the appeals court decision, Ms. Cochran asked the Supreme Court to take the case and just settle the issue once and for all. And I know that's a lot of background, but it's important to understand why we are part of this case and why we're taking it so seriously, because we were involved in the original 1993 case that held rightfully that the best way to address issues of pregnancy and addiction is through increased access to health care, not by putting people in jail. So we filed a friend of the court brief in Cochran to defend that decision.
So that explains pretty clearly why the ACLU is involved then.
Yes.
Okay. So do you think that this is the case of an overzealous prosecutor, or is this the case of a larger problem being seen in Kentucky?
I think the answer to that is both, actually. I think the prosecution and the state clearly had an agenda here, because at the time they charged Ms. Cochran, there was a Supreme Court case on the book saying that they couldn't charge her. But they went to the trouble of coming up with a creative, albeit incorrect, legal argument in order to go after her. Virtually every medical group in the country opposes these prosecutions and says they are bad for moms and babies. So I think you really have to believe that a woman like Ms. Cochran is a hardened criminal who needs to be taken off our streets to go and bring a prosecution like this. But on a broader level, I think these prosecutions, they're related to our national obsession with the war on drugs and on treating addiction as if it's a crime and not a public health issue. And I think they're also driven by this notion that pregnant women are public property, that the state has an interest in the fetus that essentially reduces a pregnant woman to a second-class citizen, making anything that could potentially harm a fetus a crime if a pregnant woman was to do it. And what's really frightening about this, and why I think it's a much broader problem, is you actually used to sort of see these sorts of arguments in Supreme Court cases at the turn of the century, in the early 1900s, right? You would see women can be kept off of juries, they can be kept out of universities, states can pass laws that say, you know, women can only work a certain amount of hours in a day. And the justification for all these decisions was protecting the future of the human race. Women were the vessels for the future of the human race, and so we were able to restrict their ability to function in society because of that. And so that's why I think these prosecutions are really part of a broader problem. Sure.
So do you think that these pregnancy prosecutions, we'll call them, are are all over the country? Have you seen increases in these numbers all over the country, or is this something that's specifically concentrated to Kentucky?
Okay. Sorry. Kentucky is certainly not the first state to do this. We've been involved in these sorts of cases for decades, actually. We've seen them in Illinois, New Jersey, Florida, New Mexico, even Wisconsin. And fortunately, every state that has looked at this question so far has held that no legislature ever wrote their criminal laws with the intention to reach the relationship between a pregnant woman and her fetus, and that if they did, it would be unconstitutional. The only exception is South Carolina. Unfortunately, South Carolina went the other way, and we can see the devastating effect of that decision. Just this year, a pregnant woman struggling with mental illness tried to kill herself. She survived, but her baby did not, and she's currently being charged with manslaughter. And rather than face serious jail time, she's decided to plead guilty. So, you know, if these laws are allowed to stand, this is really where this can lead.
Wow, okay. So we'll put some information about that South Carolina case up on the web as well. So the Kentucky case is specifically about drugs. But if the prosecution of Ina Cochran is allowed to stand, does this mean that pregnant women could be prosecuted for anything that could potentially harm fetal health?
Absolutely. One of the arguments we made in our brief, and that we make in all cases like this, is that if you interpret the criminal laws this way, it denies women their constitutional right to due process. Everyone has a right to know in advance if something they might do, they might say, or they might not do is a crime. However, pretty much everything a pregnant woman does is going to have an effect on her fetus. And not only that, but as any woman who's ever been pregnant can tell you, the do's and don'ts of pregnancy are constantly changing. If you looked at a selection of, you know, those books, What to Expect When You're Expecting, over the years, you would see them telling pregnant women, oh, you should just cut back a little on caffeine, or, oh my God, don't drink any caffeine, you're going to have a miscarriage, or you should exercise regularly, but don't exercise too strenuously. You know, a glass of wine seems to be fine for pregnant women in France, but in this country, it's viewed as very dangerous. And in addition, think about how crimes like this, if you interpret crimes like this, how they would affect poor women in particular. Would failing to get adequate prenatal care now be a crime? You know, Kentucky, like many other states, is rural. Sometimes even just getting to the nearest OB is going to be incredibly difficult. Or what if you work a potentially dangerous job? Kentucky is a coal state, and women work in those mines. Besides, most rehab centers won't even take pregnant women, so they'll be trapped in their addictions. I also want to add this. A lot of people hear about cases like this and say, that's all fine, but drinking wine and smoking and using a treadmill are not illegal. Using drugs is. Why can't we just make the distinction there? But this argument misses the point, because we are not saying that pregnant women are somehow exempt from the same drug laws that apply to everyone else merely because they are pregnant, right? If a pregnant woman is selling drugs, is found in possession, or has paraphernalia, she can be charged along with anyone else. But there is almost no jurisdiction in this country where use alone is a crime. Otherwise, every overdose, every person under the influence who showed up at a hospital would be thrown in jail. And Ms. Cochran and all the other women who have been similarly prosecuted have never been charged with an actual drug crime. So what they're being charged with is a crime that's being created out of nowhere, a separate crime just of being pregnant while using drugs. And that's what makes this unconstitutional and bad policy, and just the same as prosecuting women for drinking wine or smoking or exercising too much.
I had never thought of it that way. That's a fascinating perspective. So if folks wanted to learn more about the case, where could they go?
Well, the case was argued this morning, so we're going to have to wait for the Supreme Court of Kentucky to issue a decision, and there's never any way to tell how quickly a court will do that, but you can definitely check back on our website, which is www.aclu.org/reproductive-freedom. And also the Kentucky Supreme Court has a website, which is courts.ky.gov/Supreme Court. So you can check both of those places, and as soon as a decision goes up, they'll be up on both our website and the Kentucky Supreme Court's.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That was Alexa Colby Molinas about the Cochran v. Kentucky Supreme Court case that was heard this morning. If anyone listening has been prosecuted or threatened with prosecution, or knows anyone who's been prosecuted or threatened with prosecution for allegedly harming their fetus, they should definitely get in contact with Alexa and the folks at the ACLU. You can email the Reproductive Freedom Project at rfp@aclu.org or send a letter to the Reproductive Freedom Project at 125 Broad Street, 18th floor, New York, New York, 10004. For more information about the ACLU's work on pregnancy prosecutions and other reproductive freedom issues, please visit aclu.org.